Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia. Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
All right, we are back. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon at AM 950 and 95.7 FM. And we're always happy to welcome in our buddy Brent Axe from ESPN Syracuse. Talk some Q's hoops in advance of the tournament getting underway Thursday. Brent, how have you been?
What's up, boys? Doing great.
It's the most wonderful time of year, Brent. I've got this take here. I think Syracuse would have been better off losing to Pitt and getting the extra rest, getting a 10 and an easier path rather than having to take on Gonzaga in round two.
That's the way teams think, right, Brent? I mean, teams just go out there and actively look for ways to lay down, right?
Well, if that's the way you feel, and I'm thinking Syracuse go to the final two. It's settled now.
Well, at least Baylor. Baylor doesn't look like a team that matches up well against Syracuse. Talk me out of that, Brent.
Well, the one thing with Baylor is they can shoot a lot of threes. They got a few guys that shoot over 35% for three-point range. But their best player, Mekhi Mason, he was banged up down the stretch. They lost four down the stretch, as I'm sure you guys saw. Then they lost in the Big 12 tournament, and that was the reason he was banged up. So much like Syracuse is wondering how healthy Tyus Battle is, we're kind of wondering how healthy he is. They do play the 2-3 zone. It's not a foreign concept to them. One of the biggest advantages Syracuse always has in this tournament is you get these teams that see a 2-3 zone, and they just see, like, remember those old pictures you had to, like, squint at to see the picture?
Yeah.
There was a great Seinfeld episode about that one time. That's what people see when they see the zone and they can't see the sailboat in the picture they're looking at. Baylor's seen it. They know how to run the zone. I think they're actually going to throw the 1-3-1, the 2-3, and a little man-to-man defense at Syracuse. So that's the one thing Baylor's got going for them in this game. But I think the way Syracuse gained some confidence offensively, the way Frank Howard's playing much better as of late, I'm wondering as much as anybody about Tyus Battle. But Baylor is certainly a game that Syracuse can win. Gonzaga is going to be a different story because that team, I just think, will overwhelm Syracuse offensively. But listen, this is the tournament. If Syracuse did lose Thursday night, I don't think anybody would be stunned to see that. But Baylor is somebody I would put in the winnable category for sure.
Now, Brett, let's talk about Gonzaga since you brought them up. I mean, if you do get by Baylor, you've got Gonzaga. And how are you willing to question Gonzaga based on the fact that they lost in their conference tournament, or you know, we just look at Gonzaga as like, you know, they're a Final Four team. There's no question about it.
You know, look, Gonzaga is a team that I feel like, you know, over the years, how many times have we written them in the Final Four and then they stumble somewhere along the way? Syracuse has success. I know it's not this team, but Syracuse is 2-0 against Gonzaga in this tournament. You go back to 2010 when they beat them, and then the magical Final Four run from a couple years ago. Yeah, Syracuse beat a really good Gonzaga team in 2016. It took a Tyler Lydon block at the end, and Trevor Cooney had a great defensive play down the stretch. That was just a terrific game. But this Gonzaga team, they went 16-0 in that conference before they lost to St. Mary's. You just look at their scores and the offense that they put up. Syracuse did well in a game like this when they played Carolina, and they kind of went up and done the four with them. But you got Clark and Uchimura, and just there's three All-Americans on this Gonzaga team, and I just think they would run Syracuse off the floor. Not that Syracuse couldn't score in that game if they were on, but this is not your typical lockdown 2-3 zone Syracuse team, guys. Like last year. Last year, they went all in on the zone because they only had six players, and they were comfortable playing games in the 50s. Even if you knock Gonzaga down to the 70s, right, if you got them completely off their offensive game, I just don't think Syracuse could go floor to floor, up and down with them for 40 minutes.
Brent Axe, he's the host of On the Block, ESPN Syracuse. You can also read his work on Syracuse.com, our guest here. I hear what you're saying about Syracuse kind of ugling it up last year, but if they're going to have to get some production, maybe that Frank Howard guy. Who is Frank Howard at this point, Brent?
You know, one thing I'm really encouraged with about Frank is throughout the year, even when he would play well, in his post-game comments, he would kind of come back to how he was still trying to get comfortable, still trying to get his legs under him, still trying to feel like a player who Jim Boeheim said coming out of the summer and into practice before he hurt his foot looked as good as anyone. The last couple of games, Frank has spoken as confidently as I've heard him all year. He feels like he's got his legs under him. He's certainly not only shooting well from three, he had 8 3-pointers in those 2 ACC tournament games. He's more willing to take it inside. And not that this team is better without Tyus Battle, that'd be just foolhardy to say. But the way Frank responded with Tyus out, I think, was admirable. So now the question is, how do you get Tyus back in the mix, but still get shots for Elijah? Frank running the point, get Buddy Boeheim the shots that he needs. He's 11 for 27 from three-point range in his last four. I think it's a relief for Tyus Battle. I think he knows he doesn't have to come in and carry this team on his back in the second half like he's had to do time after time after time. And the key to that is definitely Frank Howard. Look, you need great guard play in the tournament to win. He hasn't been great. He's been up and down throughout the season. But the last two games, he's been great.
Let's talk about two of those guys you just mentioned in Tyus Battle and Buddy Boeheim. I mean, first of all, what do we know about the injury? If he does play, what can we expect? Or is the door just open that much more for Buddy Boeheim to do even more than he's done the last four games?
I think from all accounts, Tyus is fine. He needed that time off. It was smart to rest him in the tournament. Long plane ride out to Salt Lake, which Syracuse took last night. So they've got a day to get acclimated out there. He's got a day to get loose. I think the open practice tomorrow will tell us a lot about how he's moving. What I'm wondering about is Tyus loves to take that kind of, you know, free throw line, tough step back jumper, which, you know, if you watch him take that shot, he puts a lot into it. You can almost kind of see him really kind of oomphing that thing in there. And he's going to get double teamed a lot by Baylor in that instance. So I'll be curious to see how early and often he wants to take that shot. Is he willing to get in the paint? But from everything we've seen and heard, he's okay. And with Syracuse getting the late game Thursday night, he's got a lot of time to do what he's got to do. Brad Pike and Ryan Kabilis are two of the best in the business, and I think they'll have him ready to go.
Brent Axe is our guest. Brent, have you noticed anything different about Jim? Let's talk about Jim Boeheim for a minute here. Since the tragedy, is this the same Boeheim? Has it changed him anyway? What are your observations on how the coach has handled things since that awful night?
I think he's been pretty straight since then. You know, usually you kind of, you know, as you guys have seen, Jim can be pretty emotional in press conferences sometimes. And I think he has not been that way, certainly since the accident. But Syracuse has been a team that is, you know, look, we've known this team's been in the tournament. There was no drama. Usually when, you know, you get a spirited Boeheim, it's when, you know, somebody's doubting whether his team should be in the tournament or something to kind of set him off. There hasn't been a lot of reason for conflict. I don't know Jim personally, but from talking to people who do know Jim personally, he is still devastated by this. And he said it, you know, the first game, the Duke game after the accident, that this is something that will never leave him. It's something he's going to think about for the rest of his life. And as we know, all accounts, this was just a freak accident. This could have happened to any one of us driving home on an icy night in Syracuse, New York. And it just so happened to happen to the most famous resident of this town. So I think he's doing the best he can with it. What I'm wondering about, guys, is what happened. And Jim is always a busy person. But I think because he's so locked in during the season, what I'm wondering about is those idle moments in the off season when he really has time for this to settle in and think about it, when you don't have the good distraction of being there and coaching your team. This is not something that will ever go away. He said it himself. It's not going to go away tomorrow, next week, or next year. But certainly a more, I would say, downplay Jim Boeheim since then, for sure.
Yeah, I think to myself, Brent, a guy his age that's been doing it as long as he's been doing it at the level that he's been doing it. I mean, you mentioned how is he going to react during idle times. Does Jim Boeheim even know what an idle time is? Does he ever take the foot off the gas?
No, that's the thing that people realize about Jim. So, you know, you coach through the season, and then recruiting season comes around. He's constantly on the road going to, you know, recruiting tournaments and the Peach Jams of the world. He's constantly going places to do speeches, playing golf tournaments. You know, Jim is always on the move. And the funny thing about it is Matthew Gutierrez is a terrific writer for the Daily Orange out here. He wrote a great piece about this, how Jim still writes all that stuff down in a little notebook in his back pocket, right? Like, think of how we keep track of our lives digitally one way or the other. Jim doesn't do that. He's still got a little notebook, and he writes down everything he has to do, you know, old school, in that way. And if you looked in that notebook, it would be, you know, thank God Jim can read it, because nobody else could, for sure. But So that's the good news. He's always doing something right when the season ends. You know, his big charity event happens out at the Turning Stone Casino every year in late April. And, you know, there's plenty of things to keep him occupied and busy. But it's a little different when you're not in season and you've always got a game to prepare for and the next game to prepare for. Life slows down just enough. But I'm kind of wondering how he's going to handle this in his private time.
Brian Axe from ESPN Syracuse, good for a few minutes here in the sports bar. I'm not one to turn in my bracket until the end. I like getting opinions from everybody. So, Brent, give me your opinion when you're looking at the bracket here early on. Is there a team or two that, I like the path that this team's seeded right here. Who are you high on entering the tournament?
I'm like you. I literally wait for the last minute. 11:59 Thursday. Here you go. Now you can have my bracket. But here's what I'm loving right now. I'm just going to go around and give you some upset picks and what I'm feeling otherwise. We'll start in the East. Give me the 14 seed Yale. They're knocking down LSU. LSU doesn't have their coach right now. I like the discipline play of Yale to knock down a talented LSU team. Don't get me wrong. But that's a big upset there. No one's beaten Duke in this bracket. I'm going full chalk on this one. I just don't see a team that can knock them out. Let's go to Syracuse's bracket in the West. We brought up Gonzaga. I'm riding them all the way to the Final Four. Don't miss that Marquette-Murray State game. Ja Morant, got to watch this guy. Top three pick in the upcoming draft, as a lot of you know. How about Vermont as a 13 seed gets to play in Hartford? Every Syracuse fan in the world remembers T.J. Sorrentine from the parking lot in Worcester, Mass. A few years back. Vermont knocked off Florida State in that game. But I've got Gonzaga coming out of that bracket at this point. We go up to the South. My big upset there. I got two. I don't know if you consider a 12-5 an upset here, but Oregon is one of the hottest teams in the country. They've won 8 in a row. They're going to make it 9 over Wisconsin. And not only is UC Irvine going to beat Kansas State, Sweet 16 for the Anteaters, boys. Mark it down. The 13th seed is going to the Sweet 16 out of the South. And out of that region, I have a hard time going against Virginia there, but Purdue is the other team to really watch. And we go down to the Midwest. Here's where my big air quotes upset comes, riding all the way. Give me Iowa State in the Final Four. Iowa State will knock off Carolina in the regional and get to the Final Four. It's not official yet, but that's what I'm thinking about.
Holy mackerel, you're bringing it there. I love all this stuff. I particularly love, like, Yale over LSU one. I mean, gosh, that situation down there, certainly. And we know we have Anthony Lamb here. He's a Rochester kid on the Vermont team. So, Brent, like that pick as well. Brent Axe joining us here in the sports bar. Because we live in an era where we're always looking ahead, right? The second that the season ends, Brent, here are the rankings for next year. And you know, we couldn't help but notice that next year's big recruit, Joe Girard, just won the state title. Is the hype real on this kid, Brent?
The hype's legit on this kid, boys. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, so I'll tell it again quickly. I went out to Glens Falls with my colleague Mike Waters back in August to do a story on Joe. Mike did the story, and I did a little video interview with Joe. And we went to a workout that he had with Jimmer Fredette, who's also a Glens Falls legend. And if you walked into this workout and you didn't know who was who, you would have a hard time deciphering who's the pro in this room and who's the high school kid. This kid cannot miss from three-point range. He's got one of the most refined shooting strokes I've ever seen. He is a state champion this year in both football and basketball, two-time Gatorade Player of the Year, all-time leading scorer in the history of New York State, beat out Lance Stevenson for that title. Now, look, he's 6'2". He's got to get bigger, you know, girth-wise to play in the ACC. But, and I know this is royalty, and I'm not saying he's going to be this. But he has every opportunity to come to Syracuse and do what Jerry McNamara did in the sense of a three-point threat every time he's got the ball. Now pair him with Buddy Boeheim. Pair him with everybody coming back from this team next year. And, you know, look, Syracuse could be pretty deep at guard with Jalen Carey getting more run next year. Bryson Goodine comes in next year. But, look, Girard's got to come and develop and get used to the college game. But this kid is as legit as it gets. And I saw it with my own eyes that day in that gym with Jimmer Fredette.
Brent Axe, ESPN Syracuse, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Brent, before we let you go, we got to get a quick thought from you on the Bills and what they've done so far in free agency. How would you rate the performance of Brandon Bean thus far in the new league year?
A+, boys. I mean, to be honest with you, I would have loved the Antonio Brown trade. I know people have, you know, there are questions about him as a distraction and off the field and all that. And that's legit because, you know, he's kind of the fit of that diva wide receiver. But to react to that and go make the signings that they did at wide receiver, to get Mitch Morse from Kansas City, it's not the sexiest pick in the world in terms of free agency, but that's one of the best free agency pickups, I think, of need that a team has made in the NFL. They're well-positioned in the draft coming up. To get Cole Beasley from the Dallas Cowboys and to hear that he wanted to come to Buffalo and saw the opportunity there, and Morse loves Josh Allen, you're starting to see some veterans, and they're getting paid handsomely by the Bills. That helps, too. But I love the comments from these players that they're seeing the potential that Josh Allen has, and they want to play with him. So love what Brandon Bean is doing, and I think he's going to have a great draft. He's had great drafts since he's been here and in a short period as general manager, and I think he's set up to do it again.
What's the biggest area in need, would you say, right now, Brent?
I think you flip a coin. You know, I don't think they're going to stay in that nine spot, but if they do, you got to go highest-rated offensive lineman on the board. I think you got to build there, but so tempting to take DK Metcalf, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. You pair him with what the Bills have now, and you're in business. Josh Allen all of a sudden has a bevy of weapons when last year he barely had any. So I think you're in good position if you stay there at nine. My inkling, though, is that Bean's going to trade down.
Yeah, if you trade down and then you maybe get a better value on a player like DK Metcalf if he is indeed the best player on the board. But I got to imagine, Brent, if they're staying at nine, I mean, it's got to be offensive or defensive line for sure, yeah?
Well, especially because of how deep this draft is. A defensive line, like the sixth or seventh best defensive lineman is still in any other year, one or two. And it's Bean is one of these guys that hates the term team need, but we know this team needs offensive linemen. And I don't think you can resist somebody in that nine spot if, in fact, you stay there. Even at 17, I think, or wherever it is where you were traded down to, I think you can get a pretty good value in that spot.
So, Brent, you're a man of many hats here you wear. Tell everybody where they can catch your show and where they can read your work.
Oh, appreciate that, guys. So Syracuse.com, you can check it out there. ESPN Radio here in Syracuse, weekdays from 4 to 6. We're at ESPNSyracuse.com. And I've got a new podcast. I know everybody's out there in Rochester, but if you want to keep up with what's happening here in Central New York, we talk a lot of SU hoops on there. It's the Stick to Syracuse podcast. You can find that on iTunes and Spotify. And, boy, I hope I'm not leaving anything out. That's a lot.
So there's a lot of stuff, Brent, keeping you busy. It's good stuff.
Yeah, well, you got to keep me out of trouble.
We appreciate you giving us some of your time. We know how busy you are. Thank you for rescheduling and joining us this afternoon in the Sports Bar, Brent. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for being flexible, guys. Always great coming on with you. Tell everybody in Rochester we said hello.
Will do. Brent Ax, ESPN Syracuse, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Yeah, the idea that Syracuse can get by Gonzaga. No.
It's you could say, yeah, they've done it before. Okay. Yeah, sure. I don't know that I buy the you know, Gonzaga losing their conference tournament means anything. I don't. I think they, you know, when you talk about Syracuse should have laid down in the ACC tournament to get a worse seeding for the tournament, Gonzaga knew what they had. They knew what they were. They knew what they were going to be. Yeah, you could have
won. Rather face Michigan. This year's Michigan team is not as scary as last year. They're a two based on what they did last year.
We've got to get to takes. I'll drink to that. It's a place for takes. We love your takes as well at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. It's called I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. And I'm going to update you on Robert Kraft.
Oh.
Yeah, so we have an update.
All right. Do you give me permission? Well, I'm going to do it anyways. ESPN's swinging out of its shoes here when it comes to Monday Night Football. They don't realize that ESPN Monday Night Football ain't what it used to be.
No.
Plus, I'll give you my take on the Mike Trout thing, what that is really about. And you can make this. I'm going to say this. There's one player in sports today that has way, 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 way stayed past their welcome. In fact, the biggest stay past their welcome in the history of sports. You name me somebody else that stayed past their welcome like this guy. When I tell you, you're going to lay it out. You're going to be like, yeah, that's right.
Really? Okay. All right. Gene's got some takes. I've got some takes. We love your takes as well. I'll Drink to That is next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best-sounding, most interactive way to listen to the Sports Leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.